The Blaze Radio Network. On demand. Freedom's Disciple on demand.
On the Blaze Radio Network.
Thank you so much for sticking with me, America. I'd ask you to sit down, put your feet up. This is going to take no thinking. I want to share a story with you. I think it's fitting that some people are still hurting. It's Easter. Let's not talk politics. I want to share a story with you. And it's from a famous battle from the Revolution. It's called the Battle of Trenton. And to share this story and how important this battle actually was in your revolution, you have to sort of share a bit of history. So before this battle, I want to give you the lead up to what caused the Battle of Trenton and why it was so significant. And what I would ask you to do is I would ask you to think of yourself as a private in under George Washington, a private in the Revolution. And I'm going to try and describe the best I can the situation they found themselves in. So it's March 1776. And patriots under George Washington are fighting, and they have secured the hilly tops of Bunker and Breed's Hill in Boston. And they're hitting both Boston and Boston Harbor with daily assaults from their cannons. At the time, it was going to be a big defeat for the British, so that General Lord William Howe evacuated about 9,000 British troops with all their supplies, and they had 100 ships, and they all evacuated Boston Harbor. And the thinking of the day was that this General Howe is going to take these ships and they're going to go to Halifax, Nova Scotia. And after they all left, as you can imagine, been a big victory, and all the Boston people are celebrating. They're happy, they're drinking, they're merry, they're dancing. You know, we've just got a victory. Yeah! We've beaten the Hessians. Yeah! One man wasn't celebrating. That man was General George Washington. Because he was looking at what was going to happen next. One just doesn't defeat the Hessians and drive them from Boston and not have a consequence or a follow-up action. Where are they going? Where are those 100 ships heading to? And he looked at his maps and he said, going to Halifax will be a tactical error. It would be a mistake. And as everyone else is celebrating, as dancing and drinking and been merry, General George Washington is looking at his maps going, I think he's going to go to New York. He was looking at the situation and seeing if we lose New York and New York's seaport, the revolution will have major problems. It will be set back even further. So instead of dancing and partying, which everyone else was doing, he rushed his troops. He rushed his troops to get from Boston to New York as quickly as possible and to lay the groundworks and to lay the foundation for the coming invasion. He digged entrenchments to ensure that they had security, that they could fight the Hessians. Well, fast forward a couple of months to the start of August in 1776, and all of a sudden in Long Island, the Brits appear. Their 9,000 troops, their 100 ships, they appear. They're angry. They're annoyed. They've just been humiliated a couple of months ago in Boston. They want revenge. You don't just go against the Hessians. You're taking on the Empire. The Empire strikes back. Well, it goes to Long Island. And what happens in Long Island? Well, it's quick. It's bloody and it's merciless. It leads in the Continental Army to being defeated and having to fall back. They retreat to Brooklyn Heights. Now, while they're retreating, there's action, rearguard action in places like Delaware and Maryland, which gives them time to retreat and get back to safely into Brooklyn Heights. But sadly, it doesn't go there. They have to retreat from Brooklyn Heights. They get to a point where at dusk they get to the East River and they sail to Manhattan Island. So when the Redcoats finally get to Brooklyn Heights, it's empty. There's no one there. what happens is there is battles. Because General George Washington, they retreated and left Brooklyn Heights. They left both Fort Washington, which was on the New York shore, and Fort Lee on the Hudson side, on the Hudson River on the New Jersey side. They're left to fend, and they both fall quickly to the Hessians. They lose about 2,500 men, and they lose a lot of valuable supplies. George Washington's thinking, looking at the maps and looking at everything and talking to his generals, and everything has begun so bad so quickly after that great win in Boston that he's thinking of it from General Howe's point of view. Where would you go next? He comes to the conclusion that the next target of the Hessians is going to be Philadelphia. Philadelphia, the home of the Continental Congress, the home of the Revolution. And it becomes a race to get there first. Now, it's November 12th in 1776. There are 3,000 men in New Jersey. There is 10,000 British who are following them. They are trying to get to Philadelphia first. It is a race. There's no rest. It's constant engagement, constant travel. It's just some of the conditions that your revolutionary Continental Army was facing. They were low on supplies. The food was very dull and bland. They were cold. There was heavy rain at this time. They were wet. Some of them were sick. Some of them had lost equipment. They didn't have muskets. Not every one of them had guns. They didn't have the right equipment. They didn't have the right training. Some of them didn't even have shoes and socks. It's cold, it's wet, and you don't even have a pair of shoes and socks. You're hurt. You've seen some of your friends die. You may have even been there with some family members and seen them die or see them captured. You've had defeat after defeat. You're tired. Desertion starts kicking in. People are going, you know what, the hell with this, I'm done. I did my bit, we tried, we lost. It's time to go home. And that just hurts morale even more. Fast forward a whole month of travel, of tiredness, of being cold, of being wet, of being miserable. On December 8, 1776, they get to the Delaware River. And they board the boats. They decide to board the boats and whatever they need, and they destroy every other boat. And they escape. And after they get across the river, instead of continuing on, they stop and George Washington tells them to look at the enemy. Let's see what they're going to do next. Well, now the British are looking at them. And they're like, it's December. It's December. We've given these boys a good whooping. Why should we risk crossing the Delaware River? Because the Delaware River had snow. It was snowing at this time. The Delaware River had large chunks of ice. So why should we risk crossing this river? We just wait them out. Why bother? They're tired. They're hungry. They don't have the right clothes. It's now starting to snow. Why should we bother risking our lives crossing the river? If we just wait them out, because we have hot food, we have rum, we can survive this. We're a well-trained army. If we just wait them out, we'll wait out this cold weather, this horrible weather. And when we get over there, anybody that's left, they'll either be dead, they'll be malnourished, or they'll be just so demoralized and so weak and tired that we just run them over and the revolution is dead. Fast forward to a pamphlet you've all heard about. You've all heard of Thomas Paine. Well, Thomas Paine had signed up to join Washington's army as a volunteer. And he wrote the most powerful words maybe any man has ever written. Words that changed the revolution. You've heard these words before. The words that still should have meaning today. These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will in this crisis shrink from the service of his country. But he who stands now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Washington was very impressed by these words. He was inspired by these words, and he ordered it to be read at every regiment. But still, the facts remain. You're going against the British. You're cold, you're wet, and you don't have equipment. They're just waiting you out. But as this waiting game continued, Washington had another problem. And maybe, arguably, the biggest problem he might have faced. You see, the problem he had back then in December 1776 was on New Year's Day, a big turning point could have happened in the Revolutionary War. That turning point would not have been good for the Continental Army. That turning point was on New Year's Day of 1777, the enlistments of many men were going to run out. And because they were tired, they were weak, they were demoralized, they were sick, they had no shoes, they had no socks, he knew a large chunk of men would leave. And if they left, the revolution was over. So he met with his council of war. He said, we have to do something. Let us think about plans. Let us find a way to fix this. Let us find a way to continue the revolution. And they made plans. And they were daring plans. The plan was this. They were going to cross the River Trenton and attack Trenton. They were going to cross the river on Christmas night. They would then advance onto Trenton and hopefully win. They were so determined that this was the outcome that their passwords for this battle was victory or death. So Christmas night, I would ask you just to think of the battles that all those brave men had to face just to cross that river. Cross the river that had filled with ice. It might seem like a simple thing in 2018 where, you know, you just have to cross a river and yeah, it has ice. But the situation was so much more perilous for George Washington and his men. Because you see, each boat had to have troops, had to have horses, and had to carry cannons that probably weighed a couple of 100 pounds. One bad move, and there was a chance the boat might capsize. One bad move, and you might lose a cannon. One wrong move, and if the boat capsized, the river is filled with ice. You would literally die from hypothermia in seconds. One false move, and the revolution is over before it's even started. This battle is over before it even starts. But they successfully crossed the river. It was a lot longer and it took them a lot longer than they anticipated and they were behind schedule. But then even when they got past that icy, cold river, there was another battle to get to before we get to the Battle of Trenton. And that battle was, there was 9 miles to cover, which was hard. Think of pulling a cannon or pushing a cannon that weighs a couple of 100 pounds. Think of the wet grounds. It's not like they had roads and bridges like we have today. It was cold. It was miserable. You're hauling this cannon that weighs a couple of 100 pounds. The ground is wet. There's mud. It's not easy. You're tired. You're weak. But because they had that victory or death mentality, they pushed on. And they got to Trenton. And then George Washington decides to split his men, his team in half. And half go the lower road and half go the upper road. Now it's 8 a.m. on what we call Stevens's morning. Or over here some people call it Boxing Day. And the English are drunk. The English have been partying. The English looked at that river and looked at the weather and went, there is no chance anyone is coming over. It would be suicide. It would be crazy. But George Washington had divine providence on his side. George Washington had the courage to do what other people thought was crazy. George Washington had the courage, and his men had the courage to follow him. That is the respect George Washington had. So the British troops wake up on Stevens's morning to gunfire. They are drunk. They are tired. They come out of their houses. It's snowing. It's muddy. And they cannot form their ranks. Their colonel, Colonel Rall, gets out and gets on his horse. But eventually he is shot. And when he is shot, because it's so cold, because they're drunk, because they're tired, because they've been partying the night before, because they can't form ranks, because their leader has died, the Hessians give up. When you look at the final stats from that battle of Trenton, you see that about 200 Hessians escaped, but 106 were shot dead. And they got 886 prisoners. They went into that battle with a twofold attack. They went in with their muskets. And when people tried to escape, they had the artillery from the cannons. When you look at those stats, 106 Hessians dead and 886 prisoners. That's incredible. But after the battle, when everything is settled down, George Washington goes to his generals and says, I need to give me an account of how many casualties and civilians and how much damage have we sustained. And he finds only 4 US troops are hurt. It's incredible. This battle changes the tide of the American Revolution. Where the troops were once demoralized, they were now excited. Where they were once down, they had hope. They were still cold. They were still wet. They were still hurting. But they had that victory or debt mentality. They had that attitude. And because of this great victory at Trenton, when New Year's Day came and it was time for the enlistments to end, a lot of people re-enlisted because they had that new hope. They had that new invigor. They saw a brighter tomorrow. They saw we can beat the British. We can beat the Hessians. It's going to be hard. It's going to be tough. But what I signed up for initially is still worth it. It is still worth an opportunity for a brighter tomorrow. And as we all know, there are many battles to fight, but the end result was America won the American Revolution against the British. You fought them. There are many reasons for that. But you do not have the America that we know today. You do not have the Constitution. You do not have the Bill of Rights. You do not have the memories of George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, John Adams, Ben Franklin, Thomas Madison, or James Madison. Without the Battle of Trenton. You do not have the idea of America without the Battle of Trenton. I don't have the knowledge I have without the Battle of Trenton. We do not have life today as we know it without the Battle of Trenton. Because if they did not have the Battle of Trenton, if George Washington didn't have that courage and didn't have the respect of his men that they followed him, they would have just, the British would have waited them out. Maybe more would have died. It would have got to New Year's Day and people would have left. And maybe the revolution just crumbles and dissipates. And then Britain is still over the United States of America. It wouldn't even be called the United States of America. It hadn't been created yet. This battle was so key to your founding. As I share this battle, I would ask you to think back on the questions I asked you earlier on in the show. Why were the heroes who fought in this revolution? What made them great? Why are they heroes? Why? Why do they deserve our respect? Why do we need to continue sharing these stories? I'm not going to give you my answer. I'd ask you to find yours. History is so key. American history, time and time again, is making the impossible possible. It is our job and our duty to ensure that legacy continues. To those who are hurting right now, to those who are upset, let's make the impossible possible once again. We are facing the tide of tyranny. It's growing all around the world. But let us be the generation, like the generation before that, the generation before that, and the brave men and women who fought at the Battle of Trenton. Let us follow their example and fight just for that opportunity to have a brighter tomorrow.
Freedom versus freebies. This is Freedom's Disciple with Jonathan Dunn
on the Blaze Radio Network.